from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If Love and Gogi is wrong, I don't want to be right.
What would Socrates say to that?
It tickles my fancy.
Okay.
Goosies.
I don't have hair!
Oof.
You got Marcos.
That's not.
Wait.
That's true. You do got me.
Get over here, Marcos. Let me look at you.
They don't want it.
Toby and Leroy, ready to deploy. Had to hit it with a little journalism, but that was a decoy. Better have about me, boy. Okay. Leroy and Tobin, hold to the show, man. Stairs and the stars with the show, and till then, is half moon open. Sometimes go taste like a snowman. No proof, I'm a lie about a motor. No proof. Like I always wanted him, I never hated him. I never traded him, and if I did, I never traded him. You know what? What is a star? Like under the city, the driver's side floor. Goose like a large, so many more. 10 in the more, never a bar. Hey, 10 in the more, 2 to the P. Nothing to you, but it's something to me. Handsome as ever. And cuties can be you can watch on YouTube review for free. This one time for the Twitch. This one time for the text. This one time for the phone line. Whole time wonder what they gonna do next.
You know, I just wish you guys would stop the quibbling.
Morning, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM. Hello, Leroy.
What's up?
How was your weekend?
It was all right till my car went out.
Car went on the fritz, eh?
No, like, so I didn't know, I couldn't hear nothing. So everything would show up, but there was no noise.
Interesting.
So the radio station be showing or the music would be playing, but nothing.
Hmm.
So I was going to go on Saturday, but the electronics guy wasn't there. And then I went this morning, and they go, oh, he didn't come today. But the guy, you know how you have your guy you drop your car off to? He said, hold on 1 second. Disconnected something under the hood, reattached it, boom, everything worked. He said, I just rebooted the whole thing.
So it's back working.
Yeah. Huh. Reboot works, huh?
Sometimes.
For everything.
Sometimes. Not always, but sometimes.
Yeah.
Vlad, you have a fantastic weekend. How was your weekend this weekend?
It was awesome, man. Went to see...
Hey, I have never seen more people cheering and doing dances when Florida State lost. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, well, yeah.
But how was your weekend, Vlad, before Leroy wanted to... We jumped the gun on making fun of Florida State.
It was great. It was great.
Where did you go?
Went to go see Buju Banton perform at Amerant Bank Arena on Friday night. It was great. My man was incarcerated 15 years ago, so I've been waiting 15 years for this concert.
Wow. All right. How about that?
Yeah.
It's funny because Vlad go to the concerts. I remember I was in the casino. Vlad was coming back from Janet Jackson.
Oh, you kidding me? Chance of missing Janet? Are you mad? Hell no.
Headlines are brought to you by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Super Center. Why buy your truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford.
We know trucks.
Yes, as Leroy mentions, college football started off with a big-time upset. Georgia Tech upsets number 10 Florida State 24-21 in Ireland.
Now, question. I watched the game. Was it an upset? Because we put Florida State number 10, or did Georgia Tech just look better than Florida State?
I mean, Georgia Tech did look better than Florida State.
You see what I'm saying?
It was an upset, like, because they made them number 10. They were,
right,
you know, but suing the conference, suing to get out of the ACC.
Leroy, it's always an upset.
And
if you're favorite by a certain amount of points.
No, I understand that, but that's for betting purposes. But when you watch that game, did Florida State at any point in that game look better than Georgia Tech?
No, they both look like two evenly matched teams playing the first game of the season.
Yeah, it's a shame for them.
Hey, if you're going to lose early.
It's a shame.
Yeah, that's true. They could still look.
You could lose two times and still
make the only thing that makes it worse is in conference. Right?
Yes.
But
especially the conference they sued to get out of.
Right. But other than that, like, there's 12 spots this year, so it's not out of the question. But that DJ, oof.
Hey, man, keep making money in college football. You're not going to make it in the pros.
No, definitely not.
Oh, no.
He convinced them all. He's like, oh, no, I'm what you need. Like, the guy at, wasn't at Clemson, huh? Yeah.
I know, when he was at Clemson, though, remember when he took over for that one game?
Everybody thinks back to the one game he played for Trevor Lawrence, and then when he was actually their quarterback, woof.
Woof is right.
I mean, he was also highly ranked coming out of high
school. He was highly ranked, I understand, but that was a long time. What was, was that before COVID?
Yeah.
You know, like, this is a long time ago.
Jesus, he's been playing before COVID?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, my God.
I think 2020?
That's COVID.
Yeah.
So he's been
I think his first year. This is his fifth year, so maybe 2019 was his first year?
Oh, my gosh.
First year, yeah.
It's like a generation ago.
Mm-hmm. Too long, man. Too long, but Florida State, idiots.
Yeah.
Now, Canes, don't go lose this weekend. But seriously.
I'm saying, that's what y'all talking all this stuff now. We talking a lot of trash, but then if Florida beats us.
Well, I mean, it also, it's one of these things where it's like, you know, they did lose to Georgia Tech last year, but they gave up that loss. Like, they should have won. They should have just kneeled on the football.
You can never tell.
They should have just kneeled on the football.
Nobody ain't going to remember.
Legitimately just gave them the game. No. What are you talking about? Everybody's going to remember
that. The team of the fan of the team that lost will always remember the particulars. Okay?
Which is why.
But nobody else, everybody else is just going to say, y'all lost to Georgia Tech.
Leroy, that's an all-time loss blunder. Again, I don't know what you're talking about.
That's because you're a Canes fan.
But Leroy, listen, okay.
But hold on. Even when the Canes beat like Duke on Halloween on the Miracle, everybody remembers how that game ended.
If you trash talk your friends at the bar, right? Hey, you guys lost to Georgia Tech and Ireland. Yeah, but at least we knew how to win a game and make sure to kneel down. Like that, that's always going to come back.
That's the fan thing, though. Right? I'm saying anybody did you just look at wins and losses. They don't look at how. That's why I say, like, sometimes an ugly win is just a win, because when you look back at it at the end of the year, they're just going to say, oh, they won. It was a close one, but they still won. They managed to get it done.
That game was a derailer.
I remember
it. It was the start of, like, it was the beginning of the end.
Wait, the Dolphins played the Chiefs that day, the next day, I believe. And I remember, I think there was a NFL Europe game, whatever, and they talked about it.
They played the Chiefs in Germany.
Right.
Yeah, it probably makes sense, because that's why I went to bed early, because I remember watching Chaney get the ball, and he had a run. I was like, oh, that's he got a big rush and a face mask penalty. And I remember I was watching it, like, from my bed on my phone, because I probably had to be up the next morning really early to do pregame. So I was just like, in the bag. I woke up the next morning. I was like, what?
Yeah, Eisen and Orlovsky was talking about it during the game, the Chiefs and Dolphins game. That's how it's still
Can I just say, that's kind of like coaching 101, right? End of the game situation.
Coaching 101. I mean, it's not even like coaching 101. It's like coaching remedial.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Like, that's not even... You don't even need a game sheet for that.
Mm-hmm. How to become a coach for dummies.
Yeah.
That's like chapter one.
By the way, I'd like to just point out, our boy El Burre, huge Noles fan. Chatting a lot this morning, El Burre. I would figure you want to, maybe just pour back a couple of Guinnesses, unless that, you know, brings back some stinging memories from this weekend.
And then Georgia Tech and all their dads doing river dance.
That's tough.
In the middle of the field.
That's tough.
That's a tough flight back, guys, if you're a fan. That's a tough flight back if you just went to see your team.
That is a rough one. At least you guys, at least they got to do some nice sightseeing. Beats Tallahassee.
I guess.
That's a fact.
But man, I mean, the only people that had more fun than Georgia Tech was Pat. Goodness, they had him everywhere, huh? Pat McAfee.
Oh, yeah, he was tilted.
Oh, he was wasted.
Yeah, he was wasted, dude. And Nick Saban looked very disappointed in him. He's like, degenerate. Too much. Anyway, some Dolphins news this morning. Over the weekend, they did cut Mike White.
So saw that coming.
Skylar Thompson's going to be the backup. No shocker if you watched the preseason and didn't buy into Mike McDaniel's lies. Jody Forsen was also released. They have to be down to 53 by tomorrow. Some news on the injury front.
You know why they cut those guys early, by the way?
So they're vets. Go get a new job.
Picked up by other teams?
Yeah, exactly.
Mike McDaniel announced that Bradley Chubb and Isaiah Wynn will be on the physically unable to perform list, so they will miss the first four games. He was non-committal yet on an Odell decision, so I guess they're trying to figure out will Odell be.
What about Jalen Phillips?
No news on him. I think Jalen Phillips is good to go. Wow.
By the way, if
he's on the field,
days out. Like, I love the way people come at me and say, beating science, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
But wait. But hold on. In his interview, he said they told him 9 to 12 months.
All right, King of moving the goalposts.
I'm not moving the goalposts.
Yeah, no.
Wait.
Just give him his props for beating science. I don't understand why this is such a hard thing.
Hold on. Hold on. Are you going to listen or are you going to comment?
No, I know exactly what you're going to say. Go ahead.
Until you actually have the surgery, you never know how long the recovery is going to be because they don't really know what they're going to have to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, they told him 9 to 12 months. And then he went on to say, was it Cam Akers? Came back in 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe what they had to do was a little bit different.
I told you all of this in the lead up to this that he was beating science, and you said,
"That's not beating science if you're within the time frame of when they said you would be back."
Dude, he did that ladder drill 2 months ago, and you were like, "See you in November."
If they tell you 9 to 12 months, and you come back 9 to 12 months, is that beating science?
You're within the range. So
right. That's what I'm saying. You're not beating science.
Get out of here.
When did he get hurt? November?
He got hurt on Black Friday, yeah.
Okay. Right.
And so closer to December.
Really closer to December. He's kind of...
He beat science.
So say December. Okay.
You're just a goalpost mover. That's all it is. Just congratulate the man on beating science.
Well, listen, hold on, Leroy. Let's say December, right? December is the 12th month of the year, and he's back in August. Like, he's kind of beating science.
He'll be back in September.
He'll be on the field, but he's been back. Like, hasn't he not been back?
He missed a week of training camp.
Right, he's been back the last 2 weeks on the field.
But just because he's been practicing, he hasn't been doing full practice.
He's been doing full practice. Other than joint practices, he's been full practice.
All right.
That's 8 months.
That's eight months.
Just admit he beat science.
Listen.
Yeah, great.
You got to give the man props.
I don't understand. I'm having
a conversation about injuries with a person that's never been hurt.
No.
Okay. I'm telling you.
It has nothing to do with whether I've been hurt or not been hurt. The question when we started this discussion, which we've been having all off season when he was beating science, is he's not beating science. When he beat science, and now you're like, nah, he didn't beat science. He matched science.
How is that beating science, though?
He beat science, dude.
How is that beating science?
You didn't think he'd be back week one. He's back.
No, I didn't, because I was not aware of what the doctors told him.
You told me he'd be back at the end. You told me he'd be back in October.
I was very clear when I explained this.
No,
I said I have had no conversations with the doc. I don't know what they actually had to do.
Okay.
I said that from the beginning.
You definitely didn't.
Okay.
You definitely didn't. You're saying that now. You definitely didn't say that.
I give.
Good.
So if the doctors say he'll be back 9 to 12 months, and he's back 9 to 12 months, that's not beating science.
It's beating science.
Okay. Great. So, I'm glad he's back. But
sort of like 8 months.
Okay. Great.
Doesn't sound like you feel like it's great.
Because they also said he's going to be limited when he comes back.
Who? Who's they?
They said they don't know. He's not going to be a full participant the first week of the season.
Who said that?
That's what they were talking about.
Who's they?
Do you listen to anything?
Who's they? You keep just adding details and you keep adding caveats.
Never mind. Let's just. Here. Regardless of what any one of us think, right? In 2 weeks, we'll know for sure.
Okay.
Okay. So whatever you believe or whatever I think is a moot point, because in 2 weeks they're going to play a real game and you're going to know for sure.
By the way, if he is put on the PUP list, you got to apologize to Leroy.
No.
He's not getting put on the PUP. I know that for a fact.
Okay, so then.
He's not. Because he is going to play. I don't know to what capacity. Okay?
Because he beat science.
Okay, that's fine. Dude, like, all right.
Talking to this guy, he wanted to get both of his thumbs done at the same time.
And the only reason why I didn't is because I needed one hand to wipe. That's it.
Oh, you didn't even think about that, dude. No, you need to be convinced. You were going to go wipe. You were going to figure this thing out. I don't know what you were going to do, but you're like, let's just go for a twofer.
You were going for a two-for-one special?
He was going to go a two-for-one special. He was going to BOGO his thumbs.
Buy one game.
Hey.
I'm like,
after I got the first one, I was like, ooh.
Who's your doctor, Floki?
They got my digits working, baby. I'm not going to complain about the doctor.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Take a break. Back after this. Oh, wow. And welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. Hey, the Great Country Show, Stars and Strings, is coming to Hard Rock Live on November 14th. And we got your chance to win tickets to see Jordan Davis, Riley Green, Parker McCollum. I believe Bailey Zimmerman's going to be at that show. Megan Maroney, Tennessee Orange. Great lineup there. If you guys want to win tickets, just text the word country to 20357. Text country to 20357. And you can win a pair of tickets to see Stars and Strings. Message and data rates may apply. It's a great show. It's a fun thing. They all go up on stage at the same time. They kind of do like a looping acoustic sets. It's pretty cool. It's a pretty unique kind of set if you're a country fan.
Not a cowboy boots, huh?
Hmm?
A lot of cowboy boots.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
A lot of Daisy Dukes.
Leroy, you meet yourself? Or you? What's the deal there, man? I don't know. I see your mic.
There we go.
Yeah, there you go.
Vlad didn't unmute me. Well, who's got clean feet?
I'm not supposed to.
Who's got clean feet?
J-Fig. But that's not how that works.
I don't ever mute or unmute myself.
So
see? There you go. Take it back. She said, I thought I did. I apologize.
All right. So minus one to J-Fig.
No. Why? You just yelled. That's not how that works.
Minus one.
Well, that's not how it works. Not how it works on CleanFeed, but she didn't do it on StreamYard.
Oh, I meant StreamYard.
Yeah, the only thing we use CleanFeed for is so J-Fig can hear the commercials.
No. I meant StreamYard.
That's
sorry.
How that works. Did you watch any of the final preseason game? It was pretty awful.
I did, and here's a... We've had this conversation for 2 weeks, right? You can't get pushed around.
Yep.
Especially when you've been talking about not getting pushed around as being a point of emphasis. I don't know how much that's going to change with the starters in there, okay? But when they did play, you kind of got pushed around. So that is just keep an eye on it. Right? I will allow some room for game planning and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you best believe Jacksonville will come down here and go, let's test them waters.
Let's give it a lot to Travis Etienne.
Let's see. let's see if they can really stop the run, or that was just pre.
Yeah, they got some talent in that backfield, man.
And so from that standpoint,
now you got to wonder if their quarterback's going to hold on to the damn football, because he's fumbles McGee himself. But
there's
Travis Etienne's been carrying him since college.
Right. There's certain things that in camp you should always keep a eye on. One, if another team's running all over you, or you run the ball over all over somebody else, right? Because that running the football is key at pivotal moments in the game. And then how are you protecting any of your quarterbacks? It shows whether you have depth on the offensive line. It shows whether, you know, you have improved there. And that's the other thing. So
can I tell you a preseason thing that I am not pleased with the head coach?
What's that?
Oh, you went in yesterday.
This continues to be an issue for him.
What is it?
He stinks at challenges, dude. Stinks at them. And he got baited like he was going up in like he was going up against James Harden in the NBA, because Baker Mayfield completely duped him, because he did the fake, hey, let's hurry up, because they threw a deep ball down the field, keeps it in bounds. I was like, oh, that's clearly a catch. And so Baker was doing the, oh, let's hurry up, let's get down. And Mike McDaniel got completely duped. He goes, red flag. And then he even had to yell at the refs for the red flag, even though it was very clearly in bounds. So, boom, got beat on another challenge. He's 0 for 2 or 3 this preseason. And his record previously in all regular seasons has stunk. He is perhaps the worst when it comes to the coach's challenge. And I don't know who's in charge of that. I know he's got supposed to have like a guy.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Now, I will say this. Everybody has one play, right? For moments like that. And a lot of times you will go to that play even if it's close, right? So you don't want them even looking at it. It has nothing to do with whether it was completed or not. The offense has a play ready. They were probably going to run that play anyway. So it puts the other side of the ball in a bit of a rush, right? And that's what Mike McDaniel gets caught up in that. Upstairs, they should be giving him better advice. And it should be quick advice. And that's where it's failing. It's not failing with the offense saying hurry up, because anytime there's a close play where you think it may be a turnover, where you think it was on the sidelines and you're not sure, the quarterback would just signal the quick play. Geronimo. Everybody run to the line of scrimmage and call the play. It ain't got nothing to do with Mike McDaniel. He's not trying to dupe Mike McDaniel. He just
He felt duped.
It's automatic.
Tobin, you want to hear his record?
Okay.
In coach's challenge?
Yeah, what's his record?
3-10 overall. A 0.231 average. He is the worst.
He's terrible at it. He's been terrible at it.
And you know who's second worst?
Who?
Sean McDermott.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably got to challenge a lot for Josh Allen or something like that.
And think about this. You play football and everybody plays on this time frame, right? Like, you want to get out of the huddle X amount of time, 15, 20 seconds. You want this, right? X amount of time. When you do 2 minute, X amount of time. You want to get the play called then, X amount of time. 2 minute. Everything goes X amount of time.
Leroy.
Anytime something is sped up, right, it causes like – so you, and I'll give you a perfect example. When the team goes 2 minute, but it ain't 2 minutes, how the defense goes bat bleep crazy sometimes, right? It just throws you off your timing. So by him doing that, right – everybody panic.
But, like, how
you
does
gotta
re- it?
You got to relax. But, you, listen, but, you got time.
Yeah.
If you don't get it, so what? How about not giving up the play?
But how is it one of these things where, like, okay, so let's say he has Ralph, the replay guy, up there, okay? Right.
Wreck-It and, Ralph. That's what we should be called.
Yeah, Wreck-It Ralph. But like, what if he's a Badger? He's like, Ralph, I think. He goes, I don't know, Coach. But he's like, no. I think this is it. I think we got this one. Like, what if Mike McDaniel is just a little overpowering with this because he likes throwing the red flag?
Can I just say this? If you have that guy and you don't get a definitive answer, so here, it's all about accountability, right? If you don't get a definitive call, then you don't use your red flag. And that's the way it goes. And you see coaches wanting to use it, but can't get the right answer. And so they put it back in their pocket. You just eat it.
What if he?
They gotta just clean that.
He doesn't
up.
Seem to eat it though. He seems to be very gung ho. I think whoever him right. and his little, you know, his little Wreck-It Ralph, the replay guy. Yeah, like something's going on there. They gotta fix it, dude. It's not working.
But again, here's the problem. The whole problem with that is. And this is definitely something that, especially at home, should happen, right? You ever notice when you're on the road and your team makes a play, that replay is slow? And when you're at home, that replay got to be quick too. So everybody in the stadium that is game ops, they got to be on it too. Ooh, let's show the replay. Boom, boom, feet down. You know what I'm saying? They show it on the Jumbotron. Everybody can see the play. And so the fact that it's sped up like that, everybody does it. When you go on the road, you don't never see a visiting team's replay until after the fact.
But somebody's got to have an iPad.
But hold on. That's a good point he made. Remember that NFC title game between the Eagles and the Niners? When did that first drive? Hurts threw a bomb to Devontae Smith, but Devontae didn't catch it. If you look at the replay, he didn't catch it, but they hustled down. Shanahan kept the flag in the pocket, and the Eagles scored. So you could make sure that the Eagles knew that not to show that replay on the scoreboard because
– Right, because they played in Philadelphia. They're not going to show the replay. Right. This has been going on forever because, first of all, you don't want – the visiting crowd that's there to get mad about a bad call or something like that. And so, yeah. And then even more so, if it is a bad play or a fumble or something like that, you want to show it quick so the crowd get behind you and the crowd tell the coach. So, yes, it works and everybody, but you should get a clear answer in the amount of time that team can run down.
Well,
and do it.
Look, there's plenty, especially when it comes to catch, no catch. Like, there's sometimes where, like, I'm very confused watching replays.
I get confused with the ball hitting the ground and having control because that almost feels like a judgment call. And
did he use the ground to help him catch?
But here, if in doubt, you don't throw the red flag. Now, sometimes I will say this. Sometimes a coach will, you know, depending on when it is in the game, he'll use it because he was going to use a timeout anyway. So you might as well have it checked. You see what I'm saying?
Vlad, do you have the list? Do you have who has the best challenge record?
Yes, I do. I actually did some research, and this is from Pro Football Network.
So, okay.
You know, this is legit. Now, if we're going from last year,
mm-hmm.
Jonathan Gannon, one challenge, 1-0. Shane Steichen has a 750 average. He was successful.
Couple rooks.
3 out of 4. Brian Daboll.
Brian Daboll was good at the challenge?
He was very good.
Yeah, but he ain't really have nothing to challenge because they were just bad.
When you gave me 3-10, that was his record. That
overall,
was my.
That's his two-year
record.
So his first year, Mr. McDaniel was 1-5.
Jesus.
He improved last year at 2-5. So he's overall 3-10.
That doesn't feel good. And then he's 0-2 this preseason.
Sean McDermott went 3-3 last year to move his record to a dismal 10-23. Those are the words of Pro Football Network.
Wow.
Okay. Zach Taylor went 1-2 last year from Cincinnati.
Okay.
He falls to 12-22.
Only three challenges throughout the year, huh?
Yes. Now, you know who was the best at challenges last year?
Who was the best challenge?
Besides, if you're going by more than one challenge?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going by more than one challenge? Andy Reid. Andy Reid went 4-1.
Damn it. It's always Andy
Reid. He was tied for the most wins last year at 4.
What about Belichick? You know
why? Here's the deal. Belichick, here's the deal. He never had the challenge.
Belichick got his ass kicked a lot in those challenges.
He did he?
Pretty much wrong a lot. I'll show you. He had a nasty record. It's one of the worst records. Him and Pete Carroll.
The old aren't very good challenges.
So the greatest of all time was anything, but when it came to overturning calls, Belichick was 1-2 in 2023 and 53-78 in his career. 53 challenges won, 78 loss.
Damn. I guess that makes you feel a little better.
Dan Campbell, 0-4 last year.
Yeah, I can see that. He's emotional, you know?
Now you see the trend there? Yeah. Is Andy Reid emotional?
No.
Is Andy Reid emotional?
When it comes to food.
Okay. No, but I'm just saying, when it comes to football, he's not emotional.
No, but you just asked
you look at all the emotional guys.
It was just a general
all
question.
The emotional guys are the ones that throw the red flag all the time.
I was very bothered by this out of the preseason game. It was like the one thing that came out of it. I was like, still stinks at that. Got to get it fixed with Wreck-It Ralph, whoever the replay guy is.
I'm going to tell you right now who's going to be good with the replay. Jim Harbaugh is going to be good with the replays.
I wonder what his challenge record was back in the day. Probably got to be somewhere.
But his brother had a terrible one last year. He's 0-3 to fall his overall record in 16 seasons.
But see, can I just say, like, the reason why that gets lost is sometimes you want the timeout anyway, so you just challenge it.
I find this,
what I'm saying?
Like, Mike McDaniel challenging 7 times and these guys only challenging 3 confuses. Like, really? There's only 3 times over a 17-game season they thought a call was wrong? I feel like that's very few.
It just depends on what the call is. And sometimes you know, okay, where you can challenge it. You know it probably, is going to stand or not be overturned, but you know damn well that it should be. And you just sometimes, some coaches just don't want to deal with it.
It would drive me nuts if you're a coach and you challenge
every other play.
Well, because
you
I don't.
Would challenge, you would try to challenge 8 times a game.
I don't like the cop out when they say a call stands. You know, like say your call is confirmed. All right, don't say it stands.
Well, confirmed means that.
They got it right.
Right. But when it says stands, it means it's not enough evidence to overturn it.
Cowards. They have enough evidence. Take a break. Back after this.
DJ Khaled.
All I do is win, no matter what.
All right, welcome back. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560. WQAM. Take you up until 2 here on the program. Lord Stanley is back in town. It was Ryan Lomberg's. It was him and Dmitry Kulikov. They each got the cup. This Koepka, he got to golf with the cup. Koepka!
Wait, how are you going to golf with the cup? Don't you got beef? Don't you have beef with one of the players?
I don't know, but Lomberg went golfing with him, and then he's hanging with the cup, so he did get his Super Panthers fan moment, which, I mean, cool for Koepka. But also, Aaron Ekblad told you go bleep yourself on a stage.
You know he called your teammate a traffic cone, right? Well, Lomberg.
Lomberg's thinking, I'm a teammate anymore. I'm a Calgary Flame.
That's some Benedict Arnold's thing. That's a Benedict Arnold move right there. You know what? Let me go party.
Isn't that weird, though? You a Calgary Flame, but you get to have the cup.
You still get the cup? Of course. Still get your cup day.
Yeah. No, I know.
And what's good is that you get it right before the season begins. So that cup reminds you that you were part of a Stanley Cup winning team and you were a Florida Panther.
It's really cool.
I think they had a cool group of guys who got the message from their coach. They stayed the course the whole year. And one of the things I admired about that team so much or loved about that team was, and I told you this during the year, Tobin, no matter what, the Heat do that too. No matter what, stay the course.
Yep.
Right? And they did a hell of a job. Even, look, there's not a lot of teams that could be up 3-0 and lose, I mean, be up 3-0 and lose the next three games and nobody panic.
My cheeks were so tight. Oh, my goodness.
But and what did I tell you? That's one of the things you got to appreciate about the team.
I know.
Nobody panic.
Which series?
Stanley Cup.
Oh, I thought you were in
the finals.
The final one. No. That game seven?
I get that. But the year prior, guys were up 3-0 and then lost three in a row, too. That Derek Wright.
But you were
heading back to Boston.
I'll tell you why that didn't bother me as much. One, Jimmy Butler was really great in Boston. Like, he did not. It's been such a weird thing between them. Like, the Heat don't get rattled going to Boston. And then the other thing was, they should have won that game six, Vlad. Like, the thing with the Panthers that was scary in that series is, man, they just didn't look like themselves in those three losses. Yeah, McDavid was awesome for 4 and 5. But,
I didn't have the nervousness that you did because they had gone through a stretch like this during the course of the year. Remember when they almost lost the one seed? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was like, hey, whoa, what's going on? What's going on? Guys were hurting. And Paul Maurice was like, hey, you know, we've done this. We understand. There's some reasons behind us. And we're aware of the reasons. And we'll be okay. And he was very calm. And I was like, okay. I'm like, yeah, the guy has shown that he has a good grasp of everything that's going on. It got to 3-0. The same thing. Hey, we get to play game seven in our facility. We know we're going to make a couple of little tweaks here and there. We got it. And so, like, I never, and guess what? That was Florida Panthers hockey at its best that last game.
Oh, yeah. Especially the way they ended it.
Smothering. The ending was so, like, that was what you had been seeing all year.
Cat's and I'm calling like, card.
All right. There we go. But everybody can't do that. Everybody can't stay the course like that. That's probably, you know, guess who else does it? No surprise, Kansas City. Did they ever flinch during the course of the season?
Nope.
You see anybody losing it? Did you see anybody?
Oh, I saw the only time we saw somebody losing it was in the Super Bowl. We saw Travis Kelce losing it on Andy Reid.
Right.
Which, by the way, that's very strange. Never released that mic'd up.
You know, that might have been a guy who might have been frustrated.
You think so?
Well,
internationally?
But you know what?
You've been in Vegas for 2 weeks. Your girl is touring.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
You know what?
Be another big
you
game.
You know what, though?
No, yeah.
Can I just say this? I've yelled at one of my coaches, right? And everybody thought that I was mad at him. But I was just like, Coach, we got this. We need to, you know, and everybody thought I was yelling at him.
He looked Leroy Horde Publix parking lot mad at Andy Reid.
Really?
He looked like a guy that's, yeah, when you're frustrated.
He was beside himself angry at Andy Reid. It was crazy. It was like, whoa. And who gets that mad at Andy Reid?
But it also has to do with your relationship, right? Because me and you could yell at each other, right? I don't think none of it. You don't think none of it. In fact, you laugh most of the time, right? We know where it's coming from, though. You see what I'm saying, Vlad? You know where it's coming from. It's like when you get married, when you've been married a long time, you and your wife get in an argument, y'all yell at each other, right? All right, let's go to bed. You know, like, that's it.
Nothing makes me laugh than a husband and wife fighting, and then, what do you want for dinner? Like, right afterwards. And,
yeah, that's how I am.
You know what I mean? Make anything, baby. It's so good.
Whoa. Right.
That's it.
Look at that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
He's very aggressive.
Yeah, dude.
Very aggressive.
I'm not going to listen. That's a single man. No, that's not even a single man. That's a man in a relationship with a billionaire pop star. He's been in Vegas for 2 weeks. He's had to answer questions, meet this, that, and the other. He saw his girl just got there. He's frustrated. That's it.
You're making me look bad in front of Tay Tay?
You're making me look bad in front of Tay Tay and her friends.
By the way, I wanted to mention, this is a really cool story. Griffin Conine is getting called up to the majors.
Oh, Jeff.
Jeff Conine's son is getting called up to the majors. He hits tater tots. I know, like,
I remember when I almost killed him.
With
Wait, what?
Who? No, oh, so Jeff Conine.
I used to golf at Weston in Weston.
Okay.
And he lives on the corner of one of the holes. And him and his son were playing catch. Now, they were on the golf course. They weren't in their backyard.
So they were playing catch with a baseball?
Like, just, in the, like, just outside their yard. Because there's more
and
room.
And you hit a shot. And all
I
of sudden,
ripped one.
And all of a sudden,
like,
the baseball became a golf ball?
The golf ball, like, yeah.
He heard you?
Yeah. Okay. That's the, hey, protect
you. You know how weird that looks? Thinking that you're playing catch with your son. You know, you got the
no, club. But you wait. They are on the golf course.
You know, there's nothing like some barefoot.
They're on the, in the you know, behind their house, outside of the gate.
If you have that good grass there though, and a little barefoot,
oh, that was rough.
Little barefoot catch,
a little Bermuda grass.
Yeah.
No, hey, that grass. I'm telling you what, that grass on the golf course. I don't know how they do it. It is amazing how they can keep that grass that short, that green. You know, because I look at my yard. If I ain't get rain for 2 days, we got some brown. What's going on?
Jeff Conine tweeted out because they put a video up of them telling him he's in the Jumbo Shrimp office. And the by the way, this manager looks very Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. And he and he tells Griffin, hey, go call your dad. Tell him there's another major leaguer in the family. And Conine tweets out on this video. Says, can't even describe the feeling of what. Of when your son realizes his dream of making it to the major leagues. I've never seen a more dedicated individual. Cheers to you, Griff.
How old is he?
I think he's 27. Right? I think he's 27.
Yeah. That's the thing. Let me tell you something. If I had any hopes and aspirations of playing baseball, that killed it right there.
Oh, you wouldn't be a 27? Career you wouldn't be a career minor leaguer?
I don't know that, but the fact that you don't know.
You don't know, right. And you got to spend time in Pensacola.
But it's not even that.
That's Macho Man.
It's like you could be good enough to play in the major leagues, but if you have an all-star or a guy in front of you, you still going to get held back or traded a bunch of times as a top prospect or whatever. Just the path is too unknown.
Well, I'll tell you what, for a kid who does hit a lot of home runs,
he hit a lot of home runs?
Yeah, he does. He's hit a lot of home runs every level he's been at. But starting at Coors Field, good place to start.
Oh, my God.
That thin air. Take a break. Get you caught up with your headlines. Our Tua is next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.